Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahim, Abdul Rahman, excuse me. He's a MUDA member of Parliament for MUAR. Saddiq, welcome to the show. Now, you've recently announced some aid initiatives for your constituents. I believe the package is called MUAR Sejiwa. I'm just wondering whether this initiative was seeded by that 20,000 ringgit allocation given by MOSI to MPs to promote vaccination.
Partially, yes. However, the majority will come through my crowdfunding initiatives. I think the 20,000, which was given by MOSI, will focus on getting to intensify the house-to-house vaccine registration effort and primarily to also transport a lot of MUAR families who do not have the transportation capabilities to go to Johor Bahru to get the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Oh, it's very interesting. Can you help us understand why you've chosen to go the route of the door-to-door approach? I mean, what is that? What's unique about MUAR that requires that?
Yeah, since March, we did the place of interest kind of registration where we went to the malls, we went to respective hospitals, clinics, etc., where there are a lot of people who gather around those areas. However, after a few months, we noticed there's still a lot of those who live in rural communities, underprivileged, some level of vaccine hesitancy, where if we don't meet up with them face-to-face, talk to them, convince them, instead of them coming to us, we go to them, they will not register. However, I think it's really good to know. I mean, I think so far we've registered about 1,000 people. My aim is to reach 2,000 in the next month. But the good part is, if we have an average of 10 families who I visited, 8 out of 10 will end up registering immediately. The other 2 out of 10, it's not that they will just back off, they won't. It's that I have to talk to their grandparents, I have to talk to their parents, I have to talk to their children to come with me to convince them. But in the end, I think the problem is not of vaccine hesitancy. It's just that there must be sufficient and adequate face time to talk to them, convince them. And in the end, when there's personal touch, I believe the majority of them will end up registering for vaccine for vaccination.
Right. And you mentioned that a part of the initiatives was also to provide transport assistance for those within your constituency to travel to Johor Bahru. This is for the opt-in AstraZeneca vaccination program, right? So tell us, I mean, is transport an issue? I'm just wondering because that seems to be quite a distance to travel to go and get vaccinated.
Transport is a very big issue. Can you imagine for me to get someone who initially was vaccine hesitant to register is already tough. I have to speak to him. If he still is hesitant, I have to talk to the family members to come together with me to convince. Finally, when he's convinced, and then he or she will be informed that they need to travel to Johor Bahru, which is about 2 hours away from MUAR. I mean, it's already hard to get them to install My Sejahtera. It's already hard to get them to register for vaccination. Now to also convince this person to come with me to go to Johor Bahru. And a lot of them come from underprivileged families. They do not have the financial capital to do so. So it's hesitancy combined with financial difficulties. So if I don't facilitate their travel, most likely they will just miss the appointment. And in the end, all the good work put in by me and my volunteers will be put to waste. So that's where we need to provide a wholesome package. We visit the person's house, talk to the person, talk to the family to come with me to convince this person, and finally provide transportation for this person to head for vaccination. And we have a very rigorous and wholesome follow-up process to ensure that everyone turns up.
Sadiq, if I understand correctly, MUAR was for a long time the centre of rubber wood furniture production, a lot of foreign workers, I think numbering in the tens of thousands live around the MUAR area.
Right.
Has that issue been addressed, especially the concerns that we have about factory clusters and, also commitment to vaccinate everybody, including those who are non-citizens?
And to be honest, Sharat, this is where I'm worried the most. Right, we have a large number of foreign workers in Malaysia. In MUAR is a lot more prominent, and xenophobic sentiments and statements in no way will help us to get them vaccinated. And in reality, they are integrated with us, they live among us, they work with us, and if we don't get vaccinated, we will all be affected and our ability to reach the herd immunity will be reduced. That's where I support and applaud the statements made by YB Kari Jamaluddin. However, the recent statement by the Minister of Home Affairs clearly contradicted the statement made by Kari Jamaluddin. I mean, how do you expect foreign workers to come up and get themselves vaccinated when there are a lot of calls for them to be criminalized, for them to be punished, imprisoned, to be placed in crowded detention centers? Well, in reality, there's a segment which is registered and some of them who are here illegally. The point is, they're already among us, and if we don't integrate them and get them vaccinated, we will all be affected. I think Moa in particular will be affected the worst because the density of immigrants is much, much higher than other areas because of the furniture trade, which is booming here. So, I mean, I really hope that Minister Khairi and Minister Hamza gets to work together to iron out their differences, because if not, our ability to reach herd immunity will be gone because of our xenophobic sentiments in dealing with a real pressing issue in Malaysia.
Well, okay. Well, I hope that they're listening as well. And I'm wondering, well, since we're on that topic, if they are listening, what else would you like the National Immunization Program to heed? You seem to have a good idea of what's happening on the ground within your constituency. And I'm just wondering, what would you like the National Immunization Program to understand about constituencies like Moa and many others around the country, and perhaps try to improve in the future?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, to be honest, the problem is not with vaccine hesitancy. Now we already have about 13 million people registered, but we've only given out 3 million doses. Like in Moa, the point in which you go door to door and talk to them, in the end, they will register. So it's really about getting that personal touch. And that's my recommendation. I think the time where we just blast out messages to the masses is over. Now we need to reach them door-to-door, house-to-house to get them on board. That's one. Secondarily, I think instead of us doing this mass vaccination centres, which is okay, we need to start decentralising. You know, like during times of election, we can open up so many polling districts, we go to schools, we go to different clinics, we go to different centres of population. Now, we should do the same because if not, transportation will be a big issue. If not, it's already tough to get them to register. Now, to get them to travel to different states will even be tougher. So, I think decentralization will help to a great extent.
Right. That was Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahman, MP of Moa. And after this, we're going to hear from the MP of Batu Pahat. So, stay tuned to consider this.
If you've just joined us on the show, we're speaking to three Johor Members of Parliament tonight. Him, he voiced some concern over the increasing number of COVID-19 cases in the state, and he said that the state government, MPs and assemblymen all had a role to play in addressing the public health crisis. Now, I'm just wondering, How have MPs like yourself been helping your constituents face this crisis?
Okay, thank you, Melissa and Shiraj. With that call from Sultan of Johor, the state government with the leadership of Yang Mahmud Rahmat Menteri Besar has called up a VC virtual conference meeting. And I myself, I tracked down, I was with the Batu Pahat groups where there is almost about 3-hour discussion on how we can promote the vaccination program that was done in Johor in overall. As far as my constituency is concerned, things, for example, what are the most pressing needs in my constituency? Now, in Batu Pahat district, there are four parliamentary areas. Under my Batu Pahat MP, the P150, I have three kawasan undangan negeri and has got the most number of people, which is almost about 105,000. So the most pressing needs is in one of my kawasan, my adun, the promotion on the vaccination, especially in the remote area, for example, in Rungin and in Senggarang. I'm not so worried about the Penggarang, which is in the Batu Pahat. So the most pressing need is I need to make, helping up the government to make more programs to make the awareness in the remote areas. And of course, the second part of most pressing needs is the PPV, Pusat Pemberian Vaccine. So far, it's only one, which is in the town area, far away, about 30-35 kilometers from the Rengit and my other constituency. The second PPV, yeah?
Sorry, I'm going to ask you though, Rashid, I understand the there's been a call for decentralization of the vaccination process. We just heard from Syed Sadiq and Moore talking about the need to go house to house to reach people. These seem to be reoccurring themes in what elected representatives says. But I want to ask you, this seems deeply ironic that the Sultan of Johor, called the assembly to meet virtually, and he also invited MPs. The role of the Dewan Raya, the role of state assemblies in fact creating those conversations that seem so necessary to get the best ideas out there. I mean, are you in support of the return of Parliament and the state assemblies to be a part of this process of finding the best solutions?
You are a bit debating the core matters. You are linking it towards the debate. Okay, now, for now, the darurat has been there, since up to August. For the time being, within the allowance provision given, each of the government has given the authority to manage the COVID within this darurat period. So there are two different things about Parliament to be open and don't be open. They are more towards approving the ACTA or the RUU. This is more on operation matters that can be done. Like what has been done by the state of Johor. So it is very specific topic. So we don't need to open up yet because of the darurat. Things can still be done. And then for this case, with regard to the parliament, we are making our planning on how to do a virtual conference in parliament itself. You just wait for the time. Probably something will be done before coming up to August.
Okay, that's good to hear. I want to come back to something you said a bit earlier. You seem to have a good grasp of the pressing needs of your constituents, particularly about the vaccination program, remote areas and only one PPV. How do you intend to address this? Knowing, I understand that 20,000 ringgit probably won't go so far given how the size of your constituency, but how are you planning to help those that you can?
Okay, good question that, Melissa. Now, the second PPV will just be open next week, which is in Parit Raja. That gives a little bit of leeway. People from my Rengit area can have a shorter distance to go to Parit Raja. But I also make the virtual conference discussion with the Pengulu, with the Ketua Kampung, where they started to open one or two, the private clinic. Of course, we won't name them, but in Rengit, there's one private clinic that's been approved. So part of it is that could be, putting more PPVs, but I hope more in the whole country. As of now, I think our stall is only about 300 over throughout the country, going up to 600. But I hope that instead of these people coming over to the PPV, there could be in another way that the volunteers, the doctors go over to each of their household, maybe like one unit is going to deploy. They call it mobile units that goes over to these places. I think on my side, my constituency, I can provide additional like mobile units. But of course, I have to meet the condition of doctors who be part of the mobile team to go to these places to quicken up the process of vaccination.
Right, Gresh, just one last question very quickly about the impact that the lockdowns had, especially the closure of the causeway. What kind of effect has it had on your constituents? Have many of them lost jobs in Singapore? And does Joe have a plan for reconnecting that vital artery?
Okay, I know Batu Pahat, there are quite a number of people are working in Singapore, and we are working with the several ministry and with the Chamber of Commerce and also Persatuan-Persatuan Perniagaan to help them up with the help of the federal government with the Penjana Plus. Of course, the most badly affected are the B40. We are getting the help, and we are working together with Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat, with Perkeso and so on and so forth, to make sure that their life and their livelihood, not so much being affected by this.
Right. Dato' Rashid Hasno, an MP of Batu Pahat, they're speaking to us. Now we're going to take a quick break, but after this, the MP of Kluang. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We continue our conversation with Johor MPs. Let's speak now to Wong Soo Kee. She's the DAP Member of Parliament for Kluang. Good evening. Thank you for joining us on the show. I would like to begin our conversation tonight by asking you how you plan or how you have utilised the 20,000 ringgit allocation that was given by MOSTI to promote vaccination within your constituency. Now, I'm just wondering, because given the size of your constituency, how much can practically be done with 20,000 ringgit?
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Sharad. Actually, the 20,000 ringgit is really not that big, but we try to fully utilize it to promote vaccine program. So actually since February, even before the minister has announced, has confirmed, or even have already allocated the money, even before that, we have already tried to run as many mobile office registration booth. Not only in the pasar that a lot of our elderly go to buy their daily products, grocery every morning, but also try to go into some rural area, kampung, that they may take 15 minutes or even 20 minutes to go to the city center. So we try to go as far as we can. And my office didn't only serve in my kawasan only. We try to go other areas that we found that, or we heard complaints that they haven't registered but they would like to. So we go down. So all in all 26 mobile office, we have already stopped because we are not allowed to do it right now. But in all the 26, I think we have already registered more than 1,000 or even up to 2,000, especially elderly, for the vaccination program.
So could you help us understand the dilemmas that are posed by the lockdown in trying to do this kind of work? What are the practical difficulties? What kind of allowances or leeway are you given to do this very important work, actually, since it's quite urgent, isn't it?
Yes, currently I can only open my office. I'm still opening my office, although I'm really worrying for my all my staff, because they're handling maybe up to 100 persons every day in a half day, because we only open 4 hours. I need to take care of the welfare of my staff as well, because they have babies, they have elderly at home that need to be taken care of. But at the same time, elderly in my constituency keep coming up almost every day. So there's no one single minute we have an empty desk. We have so many elderly come to check their reservation or to register themselves, because some of them finally find that it is time and they need to register themselves for the vaccine. So currently I can only open my office because my application to do house to house, like what YB Sadiq is trying to do, I'm not allowed to do here, because the OCPD in my constituency decide that it is a bit too dangerous, and I do not disagree. So we can now only run it in my office that allow people who want to know about the vaccine or to register themselves, come forward to my office.
And how many vaccination centres are in the constituency of Kluang? I mean, have you gone down on the ground to see how these vaccination centres are running? Are they busy? Are they full? Are they operating well?
So far, there's only one PPV in Kluang, because my constituency is actually a very compact, urbanised constituency. It is basically the Kluang district administration center. So the more crucial one is actually the second PPV is going to be set up in Simbarangkam. My neighbor constituency, then it will help to, I mean, ease a bit the traffic flow at the PPV in my constituency at the center, because currently almost the whole district, Kluang is a landmass district, and my constituency is just a district center, but need to serve all the population that need to take the vaccine. So hopefully with the second PPV set up in Simbarangkam, we will ease a bit the volume that we need to handle at the city centre.
Suki, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that detention centre, Simbarangkam detention centre, is it within your constituency? And to what extent has, you know, if that's true, you know, to what extent do you know of the situation there? Because we know that detention centres are also a major source of clusters. Has that been resolved?
That problem is very difficult to resolve. And actually, the Simbarangkam Detention Centre is not in my constituency. And all these clusters, but eventually they all link up together, because sometimes the accused has not been put in the prison, they will be put in the lockup. Police has already tried their best to solve the problem, tried to reduce the person will be affected. Unfortunately, we still have few clusters. For example, there is one cluster a month ago that is actually located right in my constituency, but it is related to the person kena tahan, the orang kena tahan, OKT, in the police station. So it is related to all these clusters, prison. There is another prison right next to my constituency, but most of the officers stay in my constituency. So although the prison not located right in my constituency, but all the people actually stay in the city center of Kluang. So eventually it will be affected.
Suki, can I ask you about the economic needs of your constituents? I mean, we've talked about the vaccine, the importance of getting this vaccine process rolling as quickly as possible. But in the meantime, during the lockdown and the past 15 months that we've dealing with this pandemic, what has been your observations on the ground of your constituents in terms of their economic needs, in terms of what financial aid they need and they are receiving?
Johor depend a lot. A lot of secondary cities in Johor depend on the weekend traffic flow from Singapore. Not only Singaporeans, but also Malaysians who work in Singapore to bring back their spending power to their kampong. So with the cut of all this flow, although we also have not lost the people to larger cities like Kuala Lumpur, so we kind of retain. However, places like Johor Bahru is badly affected for sure. And for city like Kluang, because we are agriculture oriented city and we have quite a many of small landholder, they have plantation, and the palm oil price is doing quite well. So currently the only issue for the local community is we are facing a very good palm oil market, but we don't have sufficient manpower to do the harvesting. So this is the first thing. And the second thing for the working population who don't own the land, who don't do a business, and they are wage earner, the issue is same as everywhere, that they face cutting of wage, and they face a labor dispute that the employers want to cut, and all these are the usual thing. And the most difficult part is getting a job for sure, and getting a job that suit them, especially for the young graduate. I think that is the common trend that we see everywhere, not only happening in Johor.
That was Wong Suki, MP of Kluang, wrapping up our show for tonight, because that's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you, a reminder that all news and information on COVID-19 vaccines you can get on AstroAwani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
We will be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.
Good night.